Yvonne.
And Matt. We're an interracial couple with two kids wanting to do something that highlights the power of friendship and what it means to be in the company of true friends. We're going to move our society away and out of the loneliness epidemic and into a friendlier, happier world. Welcome to Our Friendly World. Better, stronger, together.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Our Friendly World.
Hello.
So, hi, everybody. Okay. So, lo and behold, more people are talking about the loneliness epidemic. Like,
what?
It's something new, right? Meanwhile, we've been talking about it for 20 years. 20 years. Gosh. It makes me mad, Matt, because I mean, we don't have PhDs. We don't have all that. We've been talking about that. We created some products. We created the, I'm sorry, I'm cutting you off. I'm going to go on a little rant. You created code based on Aristotle's Nicomachean Ethics. We worked so hard on everything so thoughtfully to match people with their best friends, platonic friendship.
Mm-hmm.
We created a dating site. This is years before Facebook even thought about that. This is years before Bumble. We even had products.
Well, I honestly think part of it is just that it's getting worse.
I don't know. I just think that, first of all, people are talking about it. Like, what got me a few years ago during the pandemic was some doctor, psychologist did come out and say, oh, this is like being lonely is like smoking 10 packs of cigarettes a day. It'll kill
you. Yay. Thank you.
You get diabetes and Alzheimer's from loneliness. And my big thing that got me so infuriated was that, wow, gee, thanks. That's where they left everyone is you're going to die. And everyone's already freaked out about disease.
You
but
get
now
the shock
put
headline, you get the clickbait, and you're good.
But these are psychologists.
I know.
That they don't offer any solutions. I'm like, I wish we had more of an audience because every week we're offering solutions or ways to look at things as like, this is the problem here. I'm not saying we're here to solve everything.
Or maybe sometimes it's just in a kind way being here.
Matt, I'm not talking about one solution in particular. I'm saying they don't offer solutions.
Right.
They just say you're going to die from loneliness. And then they say how bad it is to be lonely. But they never talked about, well, how do you make friends? And now they're starting to do that. Like, how do you make friends? And I've heard some people come out with things. By the way, like, reach out to us. We got a grant to do an in-person thing that we were going to take around the world. And this was March 2020 was our launch date to do that in person. And it was shut down, obviously, March 2020. And that's how our podcast was born, was because we're like, well, we're indoors. We're not allowed to leave. So let's just put all my camera equipment, audio gear from my photo shoots and turn it into a podcast. Let's just talk about it. And so that's how our podcast was born. Go back to episode one, you guys. It explains the spiritual reason why we did it. Anyway, I digress. So what gets me is now people are coming up with products. And I guess I'm also mad because I don't have time to go out and sell the products that we had in mind that we developed. I don't have time. And so because this is our passion project. We have kids, we have work, we have all these things, yet we've never missed an episode, knock on wood, despite moving.
Let's stay with stuff.
All right, fine. We've always had a new episode every week. We record, we're here every week, and we've never repeated a show. We've never had reruns. It's all fresh. It's all new. It's all new information. And so what got me the other day was two random different people came across my desk. One of the guys was saying, well, you have to go deep. When you meet someone, go deep immediately. I'm like, hello, how else is there? Like, that's what I say all along. Like, we're real. We're paying attention. We're listening to each other. You go deep. I don't believe in superficial conversation. the questions that this man would say you should ask angrified me. I know it's my own special word, you guys. Okay, I've been using it for years. Angrified. I'm like, are you serious, man? If someone asked me that at a party, I would walk away very graciously. Like, okay, bye. Because it's so like, ooh, like, I could tell it's like a question you pull out of your pocket because you're just reading a script. You're not really caring. You're just like thinking of questions that are like, quote unquote, deep, you know? It's bothersome to me. It just makes me want to vomit. And I forget what the questions were, but they're like interview questions like you would ask like on 2020, a Barbara Walters question maybe, you know, like, what's the toughest thing you've had to overcome in your life? Get away from this conversation. So today, I want us to do something different. There's no agenda. But in the Northern European countries, there are like, remember we did a whole show on hygge.
We did do a whole show on hygge.
So every country, Finland, Sweden, Denmark.
I believe hygge is Danish in point of fact.
We did a whole show on hygge. Hygge is Danish. Some months ago, I found a game. It's the hygge game.
Oh dear.
So hygge is all about comfort. It's all about bringing your people that you love together, and there are things that is involved in hygge. Lots of cookies and like
it's about comfort.
Comfort.
It's particularly comfort. You can think of it as comfort like during when the sun doesn't come up very much.
During the winter times.
It's so like building candles and building a fire and having pastries and having friends over and enjoying everyone's company and being.
They have a list. So yes, candles is on there, fireplace, soft, warm, cozy sweaters, conversation, friends, food, like comfort food, right?
Right.
Like, what's that cheese that is all melty and you put stuff in it? No, it's in a pot. It's hot.
Fondue.
You know, like comfort food.
Fondue. By the way, for those people who are only listening, hygge is spelled H-Y-G-G-E, believe it or not.
How else would they be? We're not on video.
I just want to make sure if somebody wants to do their own research.
Who are only listening? Like, we're not on video.
Meaning they're not going through the transcript, meaning they're not.
Oh.
Okay. H-Y-G-G-E.
All right, so there's a game that I found in some random place one day. It's called the hygge game, cozy conversations in pleasant company. So we're just going to give examples of when you're meeting someone or you're talking to someone and, or maybe you do know the people, right? Maybe you do know the people and they're teenagers and they don't want to talk to you right now, right?
What? I don't know anything about that.
All right, so there's a huge deck of cards.
So do we think these cards are good or bad, or are we going to find that out?
We're going to find it out.
Okay, but let's find it out.
I mean, I always like shuffle through them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've had it for months, and it's always in the center of our dining room table where we eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We have a tiny house, so that dining room table is in the living room and the kitchen at the same time because it's all one room.
Hey-o. Anyway,
tiny house, you guys. Okay, so you know, we always shuffle through and the questions have always been great. And immediately, even the kids who may be feeling ornery at the moment, they're totally like, they jump in there with a response. Well,
let's jump in.
All right, I'm shuffling them like I would shuffle a tarot deck right now. So I'm just going to pull one out. And sometimes I pull one out, I'm like, no, I'm not answering that right now. And so you pull out a card. And there are usually like three different questions you can choose from. So here is one. Why do you think so many marriages end in divorce?
Oh.
What?
Ouch. That's kind of incendiary.
No, it's not.
All right.
You're just saying out there in the world, why do you think people break up with one another?
Mm-hmm.
Right? The other question is, do you think you have the right personality for sales? And the other question is, what invention has had the greatest impact on human culture and civilization? Right away with these three questions, I can totally talk all day. Do you want to answer one? Here, Or do you want me to pick another card?
Oh, here we go. Here we go. I'll have fun with this. So what invention has had the greatest impact on human culture and civilization?
The bidet.
Books. Period. End of story. We can go even go printing press if you'd rather. But that's it. Done.
Okay. Should I pick another card?
No. The first one's quite an interesting one.
Why do you think so many marriages end in divorce?
Yes.
One, I think it's kind of like how people have kids. It's something that most people tend to just do because you're supposed to. I'm telling you the truth.
No. And you're fine. By the way, we just celebrated our anniversary.
Yes, we
Yay
did.
Yay for us.
Yay for us.
Anyway,
so
love is winning.
I just think it's like an accessory. I don't think that, you know, like, oh, here's my purse I'm going to carry around. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal. And it's something like a milestone. Like Matt and I don't believe in milestones. Like people who turn 30, they're like, oh, it's the big 3-0. We don't do numbers like that. We don't do milestones. Every day is a milestone.
Milestone.
I keep saying milestone. Milestone. Milestone.
Mile.
I got it. Milestone. I got it.
Kilometer stone.
Pebble stone. So I just think, and then life. Okay. So I think change comes into it. People grow apart, they say, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it, your whole body every 7 years is a totally different body. You make a new heart, new lungs, new kidneys, like new everything. Your cells are completely different every seven years. Completely different. So change is a constant. We're all changing.
Mm-hmm.
It's choosing to change together and still accept one another's changes, even though it's radically different from you. You are a radically different person than I am, Matt.
What?
We're very different.
Oh?
When people see us together, they're like, how the heck did that happen? Like, what is that? Right?
Some of us are just lucky.
Just so different in every way. I've said it before. Tall, short, dark, light, brown eyes, blue eyes, Northern European.
Right. And I'm so Persian. I know. I get it. I get it. I can't help that I'm, you know, short and have brown eyes.
Okay. Matt always says he's Persian. It's the other way around. Okay. So, okay. That's why I think marriages end in divorce, because they're not willing to accept each other's changes. They don't communicate. I think if you communicate, you're more accepting of change. And you truly, I think, you have to respect the person. And sometimes, some of the times, or yeah, a lot of the times, you may not like the person for whatever reason, because you're going through stuff together, but you have to respect the person. And then you end up loving the person again. Your moods change. Your bodies change. Your moods change. Everything changes. And obviously, the other one is deception, because you're above all not honest with yourself, and then you're dishonest with the other person. So i.e. change, you do things behind the person's back, cheating, change that doesn't involve the other person. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
i.e. no communication and cheating. So what do you think?
Ooh, it's my turn. Yay for me. Well, I'm going to start with a personal story.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Row.
Yes.
Am I in trouble?
Yes. No, kidding. No, my grandmother on my mother's side told my mom on my mom's side. That she married her husband. My grandmother married her husband because they used to hang out. There was like four or six of them, and they all hung out and they all paired off and they all got married. And they were the last two people, like singletons. And so it seemed like the thing to do.
Right. Like playing like sports in school. Everyone chooses someone. You got to choose someone. Oh, okay. You're left. All right. You're on my team.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that hectic to hear, though?
Yeah.
And it's even weirder. It's not even weirder for me, but weird enough hearing about it as my grandparents. You know, mm-hmm. That's how they got together. It wasn't this grand, epic tale of love.
Let's be careful, because I do believe in matchmaking services, and I do believe in cultures that do matchmaking, mm-hmm. Right?
But, yeah, no, I get it.
So I do believe, see, it love grows because respect will grow. So let's be careful there. That's saying, oh, just because.
But it was just for completely practical reasons. And yeah. then they had a very challenged
marriage is a practical thing, really. I think it's evolving into marriage is becoming less of a thing. But also, I think marriage has evolved into a spiritual thing, not a practical thing. You know what I'm saying? I don't think marriage is practical anymore. It's like what it was meant as property. Like the woman is the property of the man. Anyway, another story.
Well, so much for my story.
I'm not your property, Matt.
So much for my story. What? Okay.
No, you're right. You're right. Again, it was because it's the thing to do. I'm not trying to disregard what you said. I'm sorry. Feisty question for me.
But again, yes, I have to agree with you. You have to take the effort to share and change together. Which is more than just, I like watching crazy cat videos and my wife doesn't, or whatever it is. But it's about sharing those things that you hear that you start to really try and integrate into your reality. You know, those challenging moments, sharing those challenging moments. I was watching a movie, and part of that movie, which was a good object lesson for me, and I never for an instant thought about doing anything else, especially after I saw this movie, was the guy got laid off, and he didn't tell his wife.
Right.
For 6 months.
Or remember The Egg and I, that movie we saw, where the man just like comes home and says, we're moving right now. I bought a house, and they end up going to the country to raise chickens.
Yeah, but that's completely different.
It's the same thing. He did it. He's like, this is what we're doing.
But at least then they were moving in the same direction and they both knew what was going on. In this case, the guy got laid off. He didn't tell his wife. His wife is still out spending money, still wants to go on vacation and all sorts of things. Meanwhile, he's desperate to find a job. And he's going through this whole dichotomy, this huge lie every single day as he packs his little lunch to go to work.
Right.
So not for an instant would I ever have thought about doing that.
Right. Good for you, Matt. But there are lots of people who don't feel like they can ever be honest. And I think that's part of the reason why there's a loneliness epidemic.
And
there's so much we're hiding.
Right.
There's so much being hidden.
But if you think about it, if you have a partner that you can't be honest with.
Then ouch. Why are you with them? Yeah. I know. And then the other question is, do you think you have the right personality for sales? It depends when you ask me this in my life. I used to look at salespeople like really sleazy.
What's it gonna take people. To get you in this car, little lady?
Like, I remember I was 18 and I was surrounded by so many photographers and I worked at a camera store. A very big camera store, sought after, like professional photographers went there. And so I was surrounded by people in the industry, and I was told one day, Vaughn, you better learn how to sell. You need to become a salesperson. And I was so offended for years from someone saying that to me. And it wasn't just one person. Several people said that to me. I was so offended. Like, as a young kid, where you heard the term salesperson, you always thought of someone who is incredibly shady, trying to get your money and not have your welfare in mind. They're just there to sell you a car that looks okay, and as soon as you drive it off, it will break down and there's nothing you can do about it. Because they were such great salespeople that they were able to make you do something that you shouldn't have done. That's what I thought of a salesperson as. Now, because I've had my own businesses, because I've had to go out there with my photography work and get clients and figure all that out, what I realized was a salesperson is someone that's there to show you things that you didn't think of, to make your life easier because they've done all the research and they know what you need. To me, that's now a salesperson. So do you think you have the right personality for sales? Yes. Because I'm thinking about it in a friendly way. I'm only here to serve your highest good with what I can provide for you. So yes. How about you?
Well, my knee-jerk reaction was no. And then I started thinking my buddy Jim is a great salesman. And he's a great salesman because he's very passionate about all kinds of stuff. But like, typically, he's only going to try and sell you something that he feels passionately about or that you feel passionately about. He actually works in a bank, so he manages to sell people, you know, CDs and whatnot. But if you're passionate about getting a CD, he's going to try and figure out if that makes sense to you. If that certificate of deposit, by the way, for our overseas listeners, it's a bank thing. Anyways, he's going to figure out if it makes sense for you, and he's going to break it down. And it all feels very organic and honest and open and vulnerable. So thinking about sales as an act of communication, honestly, I sell all the time. I just had to give a demo, which is like a sales pitch to a whole bunch of actually salespeople at my company, as I had to demo the product I've been working on. And, you know, if I don't believe in it, if I don't understand what it is I'm building and why I'm building it, then they're going to smell it. I'm going to smell it. It's all going to feel icky. So I think those moments where I don't feel good as a quote unquote salesman, those are moments that I don't believe in what it is I'm doing. And there's a genuineness to mm-hmm. it that comes out. And so a sleazy salesman, like somebody who sells, you know, brand X of cars, and they've been doing that for 20 years, even though they don't drive one themselves, you can almost taste it on them. So run away.
Thank you for sharing that. And then going back to questions and asking questions, and how the psychologist was offering up questions like, what's the biggest turning point in your life? It's like, whoa, I don't know you like that. Why would I ever offer up that information without you first not being vulnerable with me? Ooh. Why would you come at me with such a question? Like, I don't know you like that. That's my purse. I don't know you.
And there you go. And yet you can have the most fascinating, like, discussions, conversations with people just by asking innocuous questions, not these deep, probing, creepy problems.
If you look at these HUGA questions, I mean, there are some in here that ask questions about what do you think, but it's always like, what are you, or what has happened to you? Maybe, I don't know. I still haven't seen any questions like that. Like, what's the biggest turning point? Whatever. But like, look, why do you think so many marriages end in divorce? Do you think you have the right personality for sales? What invention has had the greatest impact on human culture and civilization? You know what? These are asking me what I think, right?
Right. They're not asking who you are.
Right. And you know who someone is by the way they think and the way they see life. So that's why I like these questions rather than those stupid questions, which reminds me of, I'm sorry, I was engaged to this idiot guy once who studied Jungian therapy. I just want to vomit at the way they thought, the way he in particular would pose questions of people, thinking he was so deep. And it was gross because it was questions like that right off the bat. Or they would like sit and go, okay, we're going to look at each other for 20 minutes without saying a word. And we're just going to stare into each other's eyes. Vomit. Get away from me. Anyway, so there you go.
Okay.
Do you want to do one more?
Let me do it.
Okay, but here.
Secret.
Here, I'll give you the box. Here
just
you go.
Give me the box. I'm not going to shuffle. I'm just going to pick a card. Any card. And I'm only going to read one.
You're only, oh, no fun. No, you know what? Just read all the questions so we know what kind of questions there are. You know what I'm saying?
Would you enjoy sharing a meal with your clone? No. What is the one key trait that makes successful people successful? Communication, vulnerability. Oh, communication. What was the name of your first serious crush?
Okay.
Hold on. Stacy Sampo, folks. Great alliteration.
Who's that? I never heard of her.
Fourth grade, I fell hard.
Aww. What? Are you looking at me like to answer the questions?
I answered the three questions. Bam.
I have to see it because I forget everything immediately. Okay. Would you enjoy sharing a meal with your clone? No. Creepy. Like, what is, no, thanks. I can barely look at myself in the mirror. Are you crazy? Okay. What is the one key trait that makes successful people successful? Compassion, understanding, being able to put yourself in another person's shoes. Okay. What was the name?
I said one. What's the one?
One. I told you the one. I think compassion is the same thing.
Let's move on.
With compassion, you're able to put yourself in another person's shoes. So then you know what people need. Then you can lead. Oh, wait. Successful people, successful. It didn't even say anything about a leadership, did it?
Mm-mm.
Well, that. Okay. I'm sticking to it. What was the name of your first serious crush?
There you go.
Oh, God. Kai Morrison from 7th grade until 12th grade.
Wow. I had my first serious crush because it was serious. Everything was serious to me in 4th grade.
You know what?
Everything.
Okay. You know what? I had crushes before that. But they were mutual. This was a crush that like crushed me.
Yeah, but it just said first serious crush.
Well, I think that was the most serious. Because the other ones, we liked each other. Mm-hmm. And we like played dodgeball and handball together. Mm-hmm. And like spanked each other.
With sticks.
No.
No, I don't know. I'm not spanking people.
Oh, my you know, like tag. Never mind. Tag, you know, like.
Ow.
Okay, never mind. Not like that, folks. Innocent. It's rated G. Uh-huh. Rated G spanking. So anyway, and not hard either. Okay, so this crush though, and all this, by the way, all the answers relate to friendship to me. Like this last six questions we just did to me relates to friendship. Like,
right?
Even the salespeople and everything, just being genuine, right? Caring about another person. But this crush that I had taught me so much that, so it was excruciating from 7th grade until 12th grade, you guys.
Ouch.
And all I did was just stare at him. I even stalked him for a little bit. But anyway, and then years later, we met up. And it was the best conversation for me. Oh, and at the end of 12th grade, I did a photo shoot. He modeled for me. I did a photo shoot with him and we ended up having such a lovely conversation and understood all the misunderstandings that took place between us. It was fantastic. But I learned a lot. I learned that people don't know what you're thinking.
True.
They don't. I always assumed he would know that I loved him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He had no clue.
Right.
And I assumed if I just ignore him, that he would feel me and like come to me and we would have this amazing bond. But it never happened. So I wouldn't even look at him with my eyes to just like convey my appreciation of him, you know, my respect for him, all of that. So anyway, that taught me a lot. So now I'm a better communicator because of all that painful teenage and preteen
angst.
And yeah. Like, I would cry. I would be so heartbroken all the time. Okay, so there you go.
Okay.
There's a lot more. There's like, how many? 300?
Something like.
Anyway, so some questions. So think about questions that are not probing, but are just like thoughtful, like thinking kind of questions. I think that's a good way to start conversations, you guys, and start friendships.
Yes.
Okay, that's it. I have to go to the bathroom again.
Okay.
Help me. Okay. Thank you. As always, have a beautiful every day, and you know how to reach us. Okay. Talk to you soon.
Be well.